So if you have your Bibles, and I pray you do, let me see. All right, a couple of you. Well, all right, you're on your phone or your tablets. That's legal. And if you do, we're going to open up back to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. We spoke about that just a little bit last week, reminding us of who we are and what God has called us to do. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Revelation chapter 3. I'll be reading from the NASB. Yours might be a little bit different, but you'll be able to see the similarities in yours and just a different way of speaking it. So Revelation chapter 3 and verses 1 through 6, it says, "To the angel of the church of Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name or a reputation, some might say, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not spoiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And last week we talked about Sardis a little bit, that Sardis was no small place. And as I was looking at some more, I remember Darius the Mede, Daniel. He was in charge and threw Daniel in the lion's den. And then after Daniel walked out triumphantly out of the lion's den and God shut the lion's mouth. Darius then said, everyone is going to bow down to the God of Daniel. Well, his brother, he lived in Sardis. Xerxes actually invaded Greek from Sardis. And then Cyrus marched against his brother Artaxerxes from there. So this was no small place. This was a capital. As a matter of fact, Sardis is at the base of a mountain. And you know, when the base of the mountain comes down, it comes down steep, and then it has these hills that come out. And they were up on one of these. And there was a river that surrounded it on three sides, acting like a moat. And the mountain behind it was very, very steep. And so they thought it was impregnable. They had the walls up, they had men watching, and they had the moat before them, they had the mountain behind them, and they felt very secure. And in their security, you know, sometimes in our security, we tend to get a little bit lax. And everybody said, amen. Is everything all right, guys? But sometimes we can get just a little bit lax in what we're doing. And that's where America has been for a very long time, because of the goodness, because of all of the abundance that God has poured out upon our great land. We have looked at our defenses. We have looked at our protections. We have maybe looked at our bank accounts, our inheritances, our land, our self-sufficiency, and we forgot to look over the wall again or get back up on the wall, stand as those sentries that God has called us to, and fallen asleep. And it's been happening for years in the church. He's speaking to the church of Sardis here. And I believe that he's speaking the same word to the church in 2021. I've been just really crying out to God this week and asking him and saying, Lord, what is it that needs to awaken in my heart? And I know it's about walking in the Spirit. It's always about walking in the Spirit, because if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And as we see in Sardis, we look at its history. It was a fortitude. It was strong. They had no needs. Men would come and take over come into the city and then go take over other cities, because it was such a central part of what was going on in that day. But then, it came the failure was to watch. The failure was to watch. And I believe that it's been the church's failure to watch. The Bible says that we are those warriors on the wall. We're the men that are standing on the wall looking out. We're not looking in. And America has been looking in. It's been very intrinsic. And we're seeing the detriment that that causes in America. Because when any of us look in towards what's going on in our own lives, and we forget to look outward, right? We're watchmen on the wall. And a watchman knows that the guys on the other side of the wall, he has my back and I have his. The man on this side of the wall has he has this guy's back and he has theirs. So when we stand on the wall and we look out, we're those watchmen that are doing the will of the Father. And therefore we know what's coming. But it says in Sardis that these men, they became lazy and they fell asleep and they stopped watching because they trusted in the natural things. They trusted in the moat that's in. Nobody's coming across that moat to take us down. Nobody's coming down the steep mountain behind us. It's almost impenetrable. We're good. Look how long we have been fat and happy. Look how long we've had great crops. Look how long it's been going on. And I believe that it's a time and a season, you know, and maybe last year was a time and a season where even we as Rock Solid Church, we drew back a little bit because of what was going on. And we looked around and we sort of sat back and we didn't press in. But I believe that this year we're going to press in. And I believe that this is year as we press in to the things of God, we're going to see the magnificence of God on display through many believers. All of those who call upon his name, all of those who walk in faith, we're going to see their lives transformed by the power of his love. Because in 549 BC, the Acropolis had been successfully scaled by a Midian soldier, and by 218, by the Cretans again. So here we see two different times because they fell asleep, that their walls were scaled. And you know what? That's what the enemy does. He doesn't come in all the time head on. He slowly sneaks in and tries to scale that wall. And he peeks over and looks for one spot where we're not looking and paying attention, where we're sitting back and we're relaxed and we're not in prayer. We're not in the word. We're not listening to the Spirit. And then sometimes our eyes get off on the cares of this world. And I just want to encourage you, strengthen your walls. And it's time for the church to awaken. It's time for us to awake this morning, because we can't spend this year like we did last year. No matter what's happened, good or bad last year, this year is going to be a different year for each and every one of us, for those who look to the Lord and wake up and we stand watch for what he's called us to do. So number one, in chapter 3 in verse 1, he said that I know your deeds, that you have a name or you have a reputation. And it isn't amazing how we all care about our reputation before man, but God's not interested in your reputation before man. Because if our reputation is right before the king, man is an insignificant aspect of it. When we walk in the grace of God, when we walk in the mercy of God, when we walk in the freedom of God, then we're able to take and sow and give and bless and encourage and take our busy lives, condense them into a life of walking in the Spirit, cutting out those things that the world is walking after. And that word, the definition of reputation, it means everything which the name covers, everything the thought or feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name, for one's rank, authority, interests, pleasure, command, excellences, and deeds. You know, so the question is, how important is your reputation? Most worry more about man's reputation than we do about God's reputation. If we were to stand before the Lord, what would the definition of our reputation be? Where is our focus been? You know, even if we asked, let's say we took 10 people that we walk with, all right, this would be fun, but very dangerous. And that we'd have to be prayed up in order to have the courage to do it. But taking 10 people and asking them, how do you see my walk? What kind of a reputation do I have in your eyes? And to open ourselves up, I would encourage you not to do it to a bunch if you're going to, but maybe find one and start off real easy because you might have to go back and get healed for a little while because you might not hear what you wanted to hear. But I think that self, our self, what do you call it when you inspection or introspection, I think it's very powerful. Because I don't believe that there's a person out there that hasn't fooled themselves, knowing what is right, doing it not. I don't think any of us have ever walked perfectly before the Lord in that. And so then it says to wake up. You have lost ground. It means for carelessness and inattention. Awake and keep awake. Because so many times we come to church and a word is preached or, you know, whether we're in life group, and we're together and it's so intimate and we're laughing and we're reading the word of God. We pray for one another. We're so strengthened and we awaken and we say, that's what I'm doing. Or the first of the year comes and that breath comes back into us so strong and I'm awakened and I'm doing it differently this year for a week. But it means to awaken and then are awake and then keep awakening. Make sure that we're putting that before us. That we're the ones who, when we awaken in the morning, our eyes, when they awaken, we go to the word of God. We grab a hold of the word and we hide it in our hearts. We write it on the back of our eyelids and on our doorposts. That word, as we awaken ourselves in the morning, so that we awaken everything inside of us to align it with the word of God. And not just to wake up on a Sunday and come to worship and hear the word and to pray. We can't awaken everyone daily. We can't do that. That's not our job. You see, our job is to introduce people to the things of God, train and equip in the things of God. But as he was saying here, some have fallen asleep. Not all. Some will finish the race in faith, but not all. See, our desire as a leadership at Rock Solid Church is that every one of our people that come into the house, that the love of God, when you walk through the doors of Rock Solid Church, the oasis at Rock Solid, it's a word that God put on my heart when we were in prayer and fasting, and I can't get it out of my mind. Because let me tell you something, when I come and I get together with you, and when we encourage one another and build one another up, when we hug one another, when we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, when we speak of the goodness of our God, the redemption that we have, and the resurrected life that we live, I am so encouraged every Sunday. And I pray that you are too. But then each day, the Bible says that we're going to have to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. We're going to have to wake up and encourage ourselves. Because we can't have any soldiers laying by the wayside. This work is too big, it's too great, and we need every single one. We need each and every person. You're that valuable to God and to us. Can I tell you the gift that you possess? It's beautiful, it's eternal, and it is a gift that came from the throne room of God. And I don't know about you, but we being evil in our hearts want to give our kids good gifts. And you know, I love giving our kids good gifts. It's more fun for me to go find the gift, think about it, plan it. I think I get more joy out of preparing the thing than I do, than maybe even sometimes they do receiving it. Because I want to be a blessing. I want to encourage. I want to see the kids' eyes pop. You know, whether it's my children or now, the six grandchildren that God has blessed us with. And that just blows my mind. Because now that, you know, I'm 57, this is my Heinz year. It's Heinz 57, baby. Heinz, it goes good with everything. All right. And Pastor Romano, of course, he turned 56 yesterday, Friday, and he's a year behind me. But not really. He's 12 years behind me. All right. But I'm Heinz 57 this year. And in these years, God has blessed us with 5 children, 6 grandchildren. And it's my desire and my purpose to awaken every morning that their names would come up, be lifted up before the Lord. Their names would be proclaimed. The children, the grandchildren's names would be proclaimed before the Lord our God. And everything that I do, I want them to awaken to a day that God has created. Each day, enjoying the Lord in the morning. Each day, listening to the whisper of the Holy Ghost. Oh, church, maybe you've been feeling a little bit sluggish. And I think it's because you haven't heard the whisper of the Holy Ghost. Oh, the Holy Ghost is powerful. He's so gentle. He's so beautiful. There's nothing he doesn't know about you. How beautiful is that? And then yet, even in the midst of that, he fills you. He fills you to overflowing. He fills the hurt. He fills the loneliness and takes that away. He fills you to a place where he reminds you in that whisper, hey, you're mine. I've got you. Come walk with me. No. Listen to my words. Stop with the emotions that are trying to carry you into the pit again. Listen to my whisper. I've got people I need you to touch. You're powerful. You're mighty. You're beautiful. There's nothing that can stop you if you listen to me. God's provision is already waiting. Come, walk with me. Enjoy me. Ah, that we would awaken to the sound of his voice in the morning. That we would awaken in such a way that there's no other voices that we listen to first. Please, I beg you, if you get up in the morning and you look at the news, you're out of order. I'm just going to say it. The bottom line is the media is demonic. It's just that simple. It is demonic. There is nothing there except what's tearing down, destructive. It used to be news that would tell you what's going on around the world. But now all they do is everything contrary to the word of God. And if you're putting those demonic thoughts in your mind and not the word of God, I beg you, wake up. Shut it off. Get in the word. Listen to the whisper. And that's what God's speaking to us this year. Block it all out. What has it added to your life except complaining, murmuring, fear, worry, doubt, unbelief? That's all the enemy does. And that's everything the news does. I'm not saying you can't look at it at times, but find some good stuff. All right? Find some good stuff that you can get real information from, and it's getting harder to find. All right? Because I'll tell you one thing, they can't censor. They can't censor the word of God in my house because I have the word of God right here before me. They can't take it away from me. They can't change it and manipulate it and twist it. The Holy Spirit, when I read it, he said, this is the truth. This is the way you walk. This is where your power is. This is where your authority is. This is your future. Your future is not what the television is telling you. Shut it off. Listen to the word of God. Wake up. Oh, do we have a glorious year ahead of us? And we'll get to that. Last year was a year of lockdown. And the other day when I was praying, if last year was a lockdown, this year is a leap year. And as we awaken, I believe God wants a leap. Bring us to a place. It's a leap year. What the devil stole, God is going to restore. Amen. He's not going to do it in dribs and drabs. It's going to be a leap into that place of faith where he's going to restore. He's going to build. He's going to blow open all of those things that you've been praying for. There's a leap year coming, and it's about to wash over you. It's a leap year that's coming. Welcome to the oasis. Why is it an oasis? Because in Christ, in him, all things have been made new. How glorious is that? Right now, we're living in the resurrection. We're living in the authority of God. We're living in the freedom of God. If you feel like you're in bondage, it's because you're not awakened to what the word of God says. If you feel like what's going on all around has got you down, shut off the television, get in the word. Because when you walk into the oasis, when you listen to the programming, or when you come to church, to the church building, and you step in and the love of God overshadows you as you come into the room, And then a hand reaches out and there's an impartation from another prayer warrior, a worshiper, one who has a word of prophecy or prayer for you, one who just smiles and the love of God. You know, there's those people that hug you. And it's just the most beautiful thing. Some, you know what it is. It's a bang, bang. And then you're on. But some, it's just that softness and that gentleness. And it's like, ah, and you feel refreshed. That's who we are. When you walk into church, when we're sitting here listening to this, welcome to the Oasis, because all things are new. And now as we walk in the Spirit and we're awakened to the things of God, we're refreshed and strengthened. We're made whole. All things are new. Power and authority has been infused into us through the Spirit of the living God. This is a leap year. Sorry, I just get excited. This is a leap year that God's going to do at Rock Solid Church. And for all of those that will awaken to and hearken unto his voice. It's a year to expand the kingdom. Each time many said it's over, God leads us in a new way to accomplish his good pleasure. Can we all agree that last year we stepped outside of what was his good pleasure at times because of thoughts? This year, we're going to awaken like the church, like he spoke to the church. He spoke to those that were preaching to the church at Sardis. He spoke to the messenger, the preacher, the pastor. He said, listen, awaken them. Wake them up. Because there's God that wants to have his good pleasure in you. Ah. And he said, look, I've given you all the tools. I've given you the grace. You've got enough grace. Paul said it's sufficient. He reminded us. Remind yourself this morning. And this year is different. It might start out tumultuous. It might. But it's going to end in triumph.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it started off tumultuous and so many people are looking and bailing and wondering. Wonder no more. My God is on the throne. Your king is seated on the throne. His spirit hasn't lost its power and God hasn't changed his plan. We're in it. We're a part of it. He's made it. We've walked with him. We're on the ramparts. We're watching out. We're looking for one more soul that has never heard the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now it's time to bring him in and start to disciple rather than be a convert. Converts don't usually wake up. Converts are the ones that expect somebody else to wake up. They expect somebody else to read. They expect somebody else to pray. They expect somebody else to prophesy. They expect somebody else to meet the need. That's what converts do. But at Rock Solid Church, we're building disciples. Therefore, every believer that comes into the Oasis and reads the word of God, it renews the mind. Yes. Prays and cries out to God. He hears and answers. The one that is filled with the Spirit of God, there is nothing that becomes impossible, no matter where you go. Everything you put your hands to starts to prosper. All that you have in your hand is simply seed, because your God wants to give you so much more. Loose it this year so that he can bring increase into your life. The words of prophecy, loose them this year. The words of encouragement, loose them this year. Let them fly out of you. Build each other up. Build. It's not tear down this year. The world does that. Being critical and criticism. Let's cut that out this year. Let's go back to being those that are on the wall looking for danger. And when it comes, we shut it down. When the thought comes, we shut it down. Just like a watchman on the wall, when the fiery darts of the evil one are coming and we lift up that shield of faith and it extinguishes them. That we lift up that shield of faith when them wrong thoughts come and we say, not today, devil, not today. Because today I'm standing in my oasis. I'm enjoying the presence of my God. His spirit dwells within me. His word is in my mind and it's now healed my heart. I'm a new creature and old things have passed away. All things have become new. So I want to encourage you this morning. It's a different year. It's a different year. If we stay alert and if we wake up, You know, it was like yesterday. Yesterday was a dark morning. I don't know if you were up early. And you walked outside, 5:30, 6 o'clock. It was still pitch black. I couldn't see any. I'm like, what is going on? It was so dark. And then this morning, as I was up at 4:30, and I was sitting on the couch, just meditating on the Lord, perusing over my notes, the sun came up, and it started to reflect the beautiful redness on the clouds and that baby blue sky. I want you to know, 2020 was that darkness in the morning, but God has brought light into this year. He has opened it up, and it's in our hearts and our understanding, not what the world is producing. And I want you to see that. Stop looking for the cloud that's pitch black. Stop looking for the other shoe to drop. Stop looking for somebody else to take something away. Give it away, because he wants to give you more. It'll be a type of year that we walk into. Number two, he said, strengthen the things that were about to die. You know, and I believe that there's people around you that started out in faith, but they're not walking in it now. Not only in our lives, but if your faith has been diminished last year, and if you're struggling, you were believing for big things, and then because of what happened and what we lived through, and that's the key words, guys, we lived through.
Amen.
We walked through. He leads us into another day, into another chapter, into another opportunity. He doesn't stop leading us somewhere new. Oh, I like a new day. I don't know about you, but thank God for that we're not living on Groundhog Day. Thank God that there's something new that we've never experienced, never lived out, and we get to look forward to the magnificence of God. Excuse me. See that even without you guys here, my voice goes. But he said to strengthen the things that were about to die. Maybe there's some that you have been struggling because you were looking at what's going on around you. Can I tell you? The scripture says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. And so many times we get focused on flesh and blood. Many men and women have made mistakes by getting caught up in the flesh and blood. Do we need to prepare? Yes. God's given us the means to prepare. We're preparing, but it's not just for ourselves. You know, I would encourage you to be prepared. They said there's another lockdown coming. Whatever. Be prepared so that your house is in order, so that you have enough, not only for you, but so you can sow. That's who we are. That's what God's called us to do. Everything that we have is not just for us, because no matter how much we sow, God's going to multiply, and he's going to give us more to sow. So I want to encourage you, strengthen the things that were about to die. Where's your vision for 2021? Did it come in with a thud? Did it come in and just sort of tail off because things didn't go our way? This morning, strengthen, it means to add to. If we're going to strengthen, we're going to add to. It means to make stronger. And it takes work on our part to make things stronger. And I would believe you would agree with me. It's not about awakening the natural, but awakening the spiritual. But both of them. We know that bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit. All right? And we need to be stretching, exercising, especially since, you know, this is Heinz 57 year. I've got to bring that into my regiment and not blow it off, because this body needs a little TLC every morning in that stretching. You know, if you eat garbage all the time and do not exercise, you'll become weaker in your body, in your immune system, and eventually your body will become more susceptible to all kinds of issues. We know that. So if we're going to awaken, we're going to strengthen things in our lives. And one of them is you need to pay attention and not say, I don't care. And, you know, when Jesus said in Matthew, where he says, drink my blood and eat my flesh, and a little bit farther down, he said, it jumped out of my mind. So I'll paraphrase, okay, according to me. But he said that if we walk in the Spirit, right? It won't, the flesh profits nothing. And that's so true, because what we build in the spirit, in the spiritual realm, when we walk into Christ, but what he's saying is, what is your motive? What is your motive? Because we're supposed to be walking in the flesh, or is it your spirit? Why do we eat? And I've shared this with some that God has put on my heart, and I've really been chewing on it. I've been reading this, that why are you eating? Is it to eat because you want to, because you can, and anything you want and you don't care? Or is it eating to sustain your body so that you can stay healthy for building the kingdom of God? It's a powerful thought. But that's what Jesus is getting at here. See, it's always about the motive that each one of us have. You know, when we want whatever it is, you know, whatever we do, if a football player goes to just play football, and that's all he cares about is making a name for himself, becoming somebody. Well, therefore, it tells you that he doesn't know his identity. But if his purpose is to join the football team to win every one of them to Christ, and his focus is prayer, it's sharing the word of God, it's blessing each and every one, and that is a very close unit that you can touch every one of them all day long. See, it's about the motive, and that's what Jesus was talking about. So this year, as we awaken, what are our motives? Because if we're going to strengthen ourselves, we're going to have to look at our motives, because sometimes our motives are weak. Sometimes our motives are deceitful. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. And I've got to hustle because we're running out of time like usual. You know, if you decide not to pray or read your word or give, serve, and listen to the Holy Ghost, you'll become as so many Americans. We will become. That goes for each and every one of us. If we make a decision not to do what the word of God says to do, then we're going to limit the Lord and how he can work in us. And the American church is expecting someone else, that gospel that they take and fixes everything. Everybody wants a pill so that they don't have to change. This is a year of change. It's a year of awakening to the Spirit of God. It's a year of our eyes popping open and saying, Lord, how long did I walk in that foolishness? Help me, Lord, to walk in the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us have a call. And maybe I've fallen asleep in the past year as you watch from home. Maybe you feel quarantined, thinking according to what the news media said, the church is the one entity on the planet that has a mandate and the ability to walk in such a way that God can bring life into a lost and dying world. We are the only ones. You are the only ones who can make this happen. There's no one more powerful. There's no one more gifted. There's no one more talented. There's no one with a greater anointing than you this morning. You are anointed to preach the good news. That's who you are. Breaking chains, setting the captives free. That's who you are, each and every one. If you think any less of yourself, then we're outside of what the word of God's spoken over every one of us, because the Spirit of God has filled us. We're not those who draw back as the soldiers. You know, we know the word that says not to be entangled in the affairs of this world. And that word entangled, it means to be interwoven in a confused manner. Oh, good Lord, if that doesn't talk about some of the church right now. We've got some of the church that are preaching everything extra biblically and falling in line with this silly woke generation that is proclaiming that now mother and father. We even have the House of Representatives, these silly, silly people that are writing laws saying you can't use the term mother and father, brother and sister. Let me just read a couple of things, because this is what happens. You get entangled in the affairs of this world. These are some of the things that you'll be afraid to say. But we're going to say what the word of God says. Amen. And we're not going to move from that. And they can do whatever they want. They can scream and holler and shout whatever they want to do. I'm not moving from the word. And the word of God said, Jesus, what did he say? He taught us to pray in Matthew 6:9, right? Our what? Our Father who art in heaven. We're sticking with that one. We're not changing. We're not taking that one off. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor who? Your mother and your father. And let me read you what Jesus said here in Matthew 12:48-50. He said, but Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? So I'll get glasses on. And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Those are the terms that the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, has spoken in his word. So if you're struggling and you're getting caught up in the laws and the rules of this land that deviate from the word of God, you're entangled. So it's time to wake up, remind ourselves that we're soldiers. We don't have a right to our own opinion. It's not about trying to appease everyone and please everyone. It's about speaking the truth in love with grace and mercy. And I believe that as we do, we're going to change things. Strengthen the things that remain, which we're about to die. And we've talked about that. Strengthen the things that remain. Our calling hasn't changed. Our identity hasn't changed. Our vision cannot be diminished. And his word never changes. The same word he's been speaking, Jesus said when he was resurrected, go and make disciples. We can't stress that enough. We can't take it away. If you don't want to make disciples, it's time to wake up. It's that simple. If you don't want to be inconvenienced, it's time to wake up, because you're sitting with your back to the wall looking inward rather than your back protecting everything and looking out to what God has called us to do. We can't do it alone. We have to have every soldier taking his place on the ramparts, looking for those that are looking for him. Come, come. Let us walk together in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I have not found your deeds complete." And I believe this is a personal statement. If you're still breathing, God can use you. He didn't say if you could just walk, if you can walk just right. He didn't say if you got all your body parts. He didn't say if you knew it all. He said, "I believe that the calling I placed on your life, it's not finished because you're still breathing. Would you please allow me in, listen to what I'm saying, and then accomplish it?" Maybe you can't get around so well. And he's going to say, "Good, they created Zoom just for you." So you can take the word of God and you can proclaim it. You can find a couple of people and say, "Hey, God put you on my heart. Can we just do a Zoom meeting? I want to read a couple of scriptures God's placed in me." Each one proclaiming the word of God. He's talking about the church, which is comprised of each of us. Each has a mandate from the Lord. Number four, so remember that you have received and heard and keep it. And keep it. You have seen, you have received, and you have heard. You have received the word this morning that God said it's time to awaken. You have received the word of God that says not to be entangled in the affairs of this world. You have received the word that your body is not your own. It is a vessel of the Holy Ghost. And we are to build it, strengthen it, and prepare it for battle. We can't have soldiers going in ill-equipped, where they get up in the morning and they fail to put on their armor. You know what happens when we fail to put on our armor? We get distracted. That's what the enemy does. Because we allow his thoughts to come in. We allow his thoughts to overwhelm us. We allow his thoughts to sift us. And that's what the scripture says. You see, he's a deceiver. That's all he does. And he twists the word just enough to try to take you out or off your game. Well, let me tell you something. All you amazing men and women of God, game on. And it's game time. And you know what? When it's game time, there's no other thoughts in their heads. Right now, they're doing the playoffs. Doesn't matter whether it's any sport. When the playoffs come, everything comes to another level. They bring it up another level. They get rid of more distractions. They lock themselves away. They're protecting everything. The plays, they're protecting one another. They're protecting their thoughts. And these guys are only reminding themselves that they are unstoppable. That's what they do. They play a song in the locker room and they build themselves into a frenzy in the natural. We play songs to lift our spirits into the supernatural. They're only playing with a pigskin. They're only playing with a little round ball, or they're batting something, whatever they're doing. You're playing in a game that is called life. And that life is the light of men. In men is the light of life, Jesus Christ. So as we do, we sing that song. And every time we sing that song, Rattle, I believe that I've seen each one of you. Just some that don't dance very much or very hard, they just start to, their arm starts to go because you start to get built up in the most holy faith. You know, that foot, you can't stop it. You look around and somebody who doesn't even worship, that foot just starts to go tapping. And then some of the shoulders just start to go and you can hear them bones rattling when that song comes because of the presence of God in that building. And that song brings us to a place where we prepare our hearts for battle. Oh, for battle. We sing the other one where that weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. So today, no weapon will prosper against you. No weapon will prosper against you. Listen, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe you don't know the freedom that we're enjoying. It's all right. My wife just slid me a note and we'll pray for that right after. But in Romans 9 and 10, which we all know very well, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For where the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. I want you to know, you'll never be disappointed. Never, by God. And if you've never prayed that before, if you've never asked him, it's simple. God made it so simple that even I could receive him as my Lord and Savior. And I'll never forget that glorious day that I bowed my knee to the King and I wept before my rock and my salvation. And he washed me and cleansed me. And he made me whole. I was a wreck. And a man was, he had the courage to believe God for 30 years preaching the gospel. And he didn't stop giving altar calls. And this kid from rural New York walked up and gave his life, not knowing what that was going to entail. But I can tell you, he's a glorious God with a glorious plan to anyone who will bow their knee and surrender. And that means walking away from everything that we used to do. All of it, burn it up, Lord. So that's you this morning, and maybe you've been struggling. Maybe it's suicide. Maybe you can't find forgiveness. Maybe you feel condemned. We want to pray for you this morning because we want to see the yoke of bondage broken off of you, and your God can. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those that are watching. And I pray, oh God, that their hearts would be overwhelmed by your loving kindness. The peace would be upon them. And Father, for those that don't know, that they would simply come before you with their hearts and repent, meaning turning from their wicked ways, saying, Father, I've had enough of my life. I trust you. I want what he has been saying this morning. I want the Spirit of God. I want to be washed in the blood. I want a new name. I want a vision for 2021. I want my eyes to be opened. I don't want to think about suicide anymore. I don't want to think about depression anymore. I don't want to be alone anymore. I want to know what happens when I close my eyes for the last time. If that's you this morning, just pray with me and say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. This day, I make you the Lord of my life. I surrender. Take my life. It is yours. Mold me, shape me, teach me. Thank you, Father, for cleansing each and every one and with their hearts turned to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if that's you this morning, and maybe you've seen this and you've accepted Christ, you can call the office at 518-828-2444, and you can give us a call, and we'd love to reach out to you, get you some information, and set up a time to come and chat, because we just want to build you up in the most holy faith. And then if we could just bow our heads one more time in a word of prayer, as a very dear friend of mine, we just had a note, he's my age, and he just had a stroke this morning. And he's my brother. We've run so hard for so long. And so would you bow your heads and pray? Father, we come with heavy hearts, but strong in spirit. And we say to that body, you shall live and not die. Be thou healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we have the authority to simply speak. And it happens. You said those stripes were for us, But every time we read in the scriptures, we see Jesus say, arise, be healed. Your faith has healed you. We see Peter say, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. Anthony Marcello, rise up in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for the body of Christ coming together in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that healing. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Wake up, church. Walk into the oasis. Be filled with the Spirit, for your God has got an amazing plan. It started out tumultuous, but we're going to end triumphant. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.